Hey, this is Kyle Busch, driving the number 18 M&M's Camry.
Fighting for America.
House Bill 2 will require that public restrooms and locker rooms be gender neutral. With respect to fitness centers and similar entities, that would mean that biological males who identify as women could be showering with your mothers, sisters, wives, and daughters with no advance notice to them.
Fighting for Idaho.
My wife Amy and I want to be proud of living in this state, and right now we're struggling with that. Passing HB 2 would be a great step in showing me that you want me here.
Fighting for you.
We should have faith that the people who know best how to run a business are the people who own and operate it.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kay Miller with you here. Thank you all for joining us. 580 KIDO, keep it here as we continue to give you the pro and the con of the Add the Words hearings going on. We're joined now by the state treasurer, Ron Crane. Mr. Crane, Treasurer Crane, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Always a delight to be on your program, Kevin.
Always good to talk to you about money and such. Before we get to the fiscal health of the state, of course, the budget, balancing it, getting the return on investment, all these things that, you know, are in the abstract, except for those of us that have, you know, household budgets to keep and everything else. Let's talk a little bit about some of the outreach that you're doing. You've got a big conference coming up.
Oh, we do. February 13th is the Smart Women, Smart Money Conference. This is the 15th year that we've been doing this, and we will be at the Boise Center on the Grove, 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. We have cut off registrations. We're already at the 1,500 mark. We can actually seat about 1,340, but we know that there will be a few no-shows, so we'll probably be okay. But women are welcome to come down and get in line and try to get in. If we have seats, we'll put them there. We can't guarantee them a lunch. We can't guarantee them necessarily that they'll be registered for any of the breakout sessions. But we're going to be there all day learning how to manage our finances. And then in the afternoon, our keynote speaker is Patty Duke, the actress.
Big time
actress from the Helen Keller story, The Miracle Worker. And so that was one of her big ones. And she lives in Hayden,
wow,
Lake, Idaho. And she actually spoke for our conference in September in Moscow. And it was a standing room only crowd. Did a marvelous job. She's looking forward to being here with us again on February 13th. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be an interesting day. Lots of learning going on. And simply helping women learn how to manage their finances. Here's the thing. Women are the ones that are the neck that turn the head, if you understand what I'm saying. And if you want to take action for helping families get control of their finances, you work through the women. They're the action takers.
Let's talk a little bit about money today. You had the president come to town, talk about how great things are. And then we have the federal government printing their own money. Now, I don't know if you have the magic checkbook or the money tree in the back of the Capitol there, but...
No, we don't.
Boy, very different world from the federal government to the government here in Idaho.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth? And I guess that's the reason we live here in Idaho is because
right.
We take it serious in balancing our budget. You know, 45 of the 50 states have balanced budget amendments in their constitution, but a lot of the states play games with that. And so what they'll do is their legislature will come up to adjournment at such and such a time, date on at midnight. 5 minutes till midnight, they'll balance the budget, and then 12:01 a.m. they'll start their deficit spending again. It's a game that they play. Not here in Idaho. If we balance our budget, we balance it straight up and down. Our expenses don't exceed our revenues, and the voters of Idaho wouldn't allow us to do it any other way. As a result, we are rewarded very handsomely by the rating agencies who think very highly of the way that we handle our finances. In the good times, we tuck money away to prepare for the bad times. And in the bad times, we cut budgets to match our revenues. And because of that track record, we get the top rating. I borrowed $500 million for our operating line this past year. For 11 basis points. I think I mentioned this on your show earlier. 11 basis points.
You'll have to explain that to us. What that is.
That's 11 one-hundredths of 1%.
Can you get that for me on my credit card?
I can't get that for anybody. But for $500 million for 11 basis points, which is 11 one-hundredths of 1%, that's unbelievable. And that's simply a reward for the fact that we manage our finances so extremely well, and we're respected on Wall Street. Our paper, when we go to sell it, is extremely valuable because these brokerage houses that buy it, Goldman Sachs and Charles Schwab and Vanguard, Fidelity, BlackRock, they want quality paper to put in their portfolios. Idaho Paper is extremely good paper to have in there.
Let me hit you with this. How is it different? Because we're always hearing about the budget deficit with the federal government and that people own our federal paper. When you read these stories and you're always in the financial news making sure things are going well, how do you react to that where they say, well, if people stop buying U.S. bonds and such, you just made the case why an investment in Idaho is so well received. Quite a contrast we've talked about.
Well, it is, and it's so bizarre to me for our Congress and our federal government to think that they can operate this way, spending trillions of dollars in deficit spending. Our debt is like almost $18 trillion. And every year, the budget that is submitted is billions and billions of dollars of deficit spending for that particular year. It just boggles the mind. And I think one of the reasons that they're able to get away with that is the American people don't understand what $1 trillion is.
Sure.
But for every man, woman, and child to be saddled with the immense amount of debt that faces them to pay just that debt off, it's unconscionable. It's criminal. And of course, our Idaho delegation, they don't participate in that. And I know Senator Risch has said many times, if I could just take the Idaho legislature back to Washington for a few months, we'd have this mess solved and we could send them home.
What do you make of that when you see the enormous debt and the president's in town? He's talking about that the economy is great and the middle class has shrunk under this administration. And here you see the policies where we're printing money, we're doing all these things. And I've talked to Dave Petzo about this. We've talked about it before. The idea that you know very well, sir, in Idaho, that if you have a debt, you pay it off. But we've got folks that will never, ever. I mean, the idea of what happened to Greece, could that happen to our country and the economic impact of these insane fiscal decisions that the feds are doing?
Exactly right. It's unsustainable. And we all know it, but nothing is being done about it. But how do you deal with people that are printing their own money when there's nothing to back it up?
Right.
And it there has to be a payday one of these days, and I don't know when that is. I can't sit here on your radio show and tell you when that's going to happen. But you and I both know that it can't continue on forever, and I don't know where that breaking tipping point is.
Let's talk a little bit about your job when you meet with these folks. What's it like culturally when you meet with these Goldman Sachs people? And, you know, we read about them, but you've talked to them. You've presented why Idaho is a great investment to them face to face. These are the people with the big jets and the penthouses and all that. A little different from the world we live in here.
Well, yeah, as I've said, we're so widely respected mm-hmm. by all of those folks on Wall Street. The rating agencies alone analyze our finances extremely closely. And when we go in to make our presentation to them, we simply tell what's going on in the state of Idaho. We give them the numbers, and they know those numbers because we stay in contact with them all throughout the year. But then they also want to talk to some policymakers. They want to know what's behind the decisions that are being made by the legislature, what's behind the administration's thinking on the dealing with the problems that we face, whether it's prisons or health and welfare or whatever the case may be. What is your thinking? How are you dealing with this problem? They know we have problems. We're just like every other state, but it's the way that we handle them, the way that we deal with them, that we face them head on, that sets us aside.
How do we compare with some of the other states fiscally within the region? Oregon, Washington, Montana, if you will, Utah.
In the Rocky Mountain West, yeah. we're right. Utah and Idaho are just nip and tuck as far as number one and number two, as far as being viewed by the rating agencies. Utah does have a AAA rating. Idaho is just one notch below the AAA. But we have no long-term debt. We're
right.
Prohibited from having long-term debt, and even without that, we still have the AA1, which is just one notch below a AAA. But that history of cutting budgets when it's not when it's painful. That doesn't happen in very many states. For example, back in 2008 and 2009, the governor had to step in August and do a holdback. That's just 2 months, and that's the second month of the fiscal year, and already he's taking action to reduce budgets because he can see ahead that the revenues are not going to match the expenditures. They cannot believe that we are able to do that, because in most states there becomes this political jihad back and forth, with one party blaming the other party for the downturn in the economy or cutting education or whatever the case may be. And in Idaho, we get on the same page and we work together to work our way through it. And this, now we're into a situation where revenues are exceeding our expenditures, and so we're tucking money away in those rainy day accounts. When we went into the downturn in 2009, we had 14% of our general fund budget tucked away in rainy day accounts. That's fantastic. And I noticed that the governor is wanting to increase that as we are moving into better fiscal times now. He's wanting to increase those rainy day accounts. I applaud him for that, because the rating agencies think it's great.
We go to the phones. We have some questions. And we go to Alan Boise at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Kevin. Fun to listen to you when I get the opportunity. I have a problem with the gentleman you have on. He just got through telling us how good Idaho is with our money and that we run a balanced budget and all these things. And then he also turns around and says what great debt rating we have on Wall Street. Those are completely contradictory statements. If we're truly running a balanced budget, why are we borrowing money? That's unnecessary.
Great question. And the reason we borrow money is because our revenues do not come in evenly throughout the fiscal year. By the time we get to November the 15th, which is just 4.5 months into the fiscal year, we have expended about 62% of our budget, but only received about 40% of our revenues. So what we do is we borrow an operating line by issuing tax anticipation notes to get us through until April, when the bulk of our revenues come in, and then we pay off that operating line. And so that's what I'm referring to as far as the rating from the credit rating agencies.
So we spend based on what we think is coming in. Me as a private citizen, I don't get to do that. I only get to spend what money I actually get. So here's another situation where government says, oh, we're balancing our budget. When you're not, you're speculating on what you think will come in, and then you're spending accordingly. Now, I get that part of that's budgeting, but part of this is a shell game of you guys, oh, yeah, we always balance our budget. No, you don't. You're operating on a line of credit, and then you're hoping you can pay it back when taxes come in.
I respectfully disagree.
Well, Al, thank you for the call. We go to Tea Party Bob at 580-KIDO for Treasurer Ron Crane.
Good morning, Kevin. A question for Mr. Crane. If we have a balanced budget, why does 36% of the money that we spend in the state come from the government? Why do we get $1.40 back for every dollar that we pay in taxes?
Well, I'm assuming that you're referring to federal funds that come into the state.
That's correct. And if you're getting federal funds, you're not balancing your own budget.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that, but I can tell you that from the revenues that the state gets, we don't expend more than we take in, so we balance our budget.
But that you balance what you think is your budget, but the real budget for Idaho, we're taking 36% of our money in from the federal government. That, to me, is not balancing a budget. I balance my budget every month. I only get X amount of dollars. I can't go to the federal government and say, hey, give me 36%. I need more money.
But is that really the fault of the state treasurer that we get money from the feds?
I'm not saying it's his fault, Kevin. All I'm saying is that a true balanced budget means you take in and you put out the same numbers. You don't borrow from Peter to pay Paul, and that's what we've been doing with the federal government.
Well, the money that I control, we balance.
I don't disagree with you, Mr. Crane. All I'm saying is that we do not run a balanced budget in Idaho.
All right, Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot. And we have a reputation on this program. We we have some folks that have their opinions.
You know what? And that's
earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. 580 KIDO as we continue on. Idaho State Treasurer Ron Crane with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, taking your calls. We have another call for you. You're a popular guy here this morning. Well, I like that. You never know who's going to yap to you, sir. We go to Mike in Boise at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Crane.
Good morning.
So my question is pretty simple. If I were an investment manager and I had two accounts that I was responsible for and they both had bonds in them, and one of the accounts had a bond with a face value of $10 million, but its credit was impaired, so it had an actual value of $5 million. And if I transferred that bond from one account to the other and made the other account pay $10 million, the face value for it, I would either have to resign for incompetence or I'd be prosecuted for fraud and I'd go to jail. So why is it that you're still the treasurer of the state of Idaho? Because you did this.
Because I didn't transfer anything, that's why. There was no transfer.
You admitted to moving bonds from one account to another and putting the wrong value on them and defrauding one group of investors at the benefit of the other group.
No, I didn't. I don't value bonds.
Okay, you can hide in that, but you know the difference.
Well, no, he's giving you his side of the story, Mike. You either accept it or you don't. And like I said, we've been through this with the campaign and everything else, and you know, by the way, I want to thank you. I had that lady come by here knocking on my door looking to debate you. I can't even remember her name. But it's like, dude, what did I do? Well, Ryan Crane said he's going to debate me on your show. I go, well, yeah, but you should have called and set this up. She was banging on the door here, by the way.
We did do our debates. We had a couple of them.
Oh, my goodness. But, I mean, what do you make of what Mike's talking about? Your side of the story. Obviously, if there were any issues, you wouldn't be where you are today.
In any portfolio, you have securities in there that move up and down in value on a given day. But you don't lose any money unless you sell those securities. So back in 2005, 6, and 7, we had about 7 securities in our portfolio that were mortgage-backed securities. And you know what happened to the mortgage market in 2008. So we held those. We were down about $70 million in value. We held those securities until 2013 when we had enough interest earnings in the portfolio to wash out 5 of the 7 securities and still show a profit for the portfolio of $165,000. We still have 2 of the securities left in the portfolio. They were down about $17.5 million on June 30th of 2013. Today, they're about $9 million underwater. So they're moving in the right direction. The people are making their mortgage payments, so they're coming back in value. Do we intend to sell? No. We're going to ride out the storm. Percy, for example, went down about $1.5 billion in value during that same period in time. Did they sell? No, of course they held on to the securities. They came back in value, and today they're performing very nicely. The endowment fund went down about $400 billion in value, but they didn't go out and sell because they would realize those losses. They held on to those securities, and they came back, and today they're performing very well as well. So the market moves up. The market moves down. I don't have any control over that.
No, we're going to blame you anyway. Let me hit you with this. We invited you to come on to talk about money,
yes.
How people can get some money.
Yes.
Get their money.
Yes.
Okay.
Unclaimed property is a division of the state treasurer's office, and unclaimed property is money that has either been forgotten or abandoned by the rightful owner, and after a period of 5 years, then the business that is holding those funds has to turn them to the state of Idaho, and we hold them in trust in perpetuity until we are able to locate the rightful owner. So, for example, you may have opened a savings account for a child, and let's say you have $189 in it, and you don't have any activity in that account for several years. You move, and the bank sends you a bank statement on that savings account, but you've moved, and so you don't get that bank statement, and you've forgotten about that account. After 5 years, the bank is required to turn that account over to the state of Idaho. And then we hold it and we advertise and try to make people aware that they might have some money. And then they can get it when they let us know that they are the rightful owner. For example, an insurance policy, you may have changed car insurance, and people do that a lot, not realizing that they have some unused premium on the previous policy. So that insurance company that had the original policy refunds that money to the state of Idaho after a period of 5 years of dormancy, and then we hold it in trust. We're currently holding about $120 million in trust for people that have lived in the state of Idaho. Last year, we were able to give back about $5.5 million to the rightful owner and reconnect them with their money. And we're talking stocks and bonds and savings accounts. We're talking insurance policies. We're talking safe deposit box contents, those types of things. Those get turned over to the state treasurer's office. And we advertise then on the radio. We advertise in the newspaper. We are also on the web. And you can go online to the state's website, idaho.gov, and click on the state treasurer's website there under elected officials, and you'll see a tab that says unclaimed property. You click on that, type your name in, Kevin Miller, put your Social Security number in there, and we can tell you whether we have any money that belongs to you.
Now, that won't go to the NSA, will it? Well, they probably have my number anyway. That sounds good. We'd love to have you back, sir.
Thank you very much. Always enjoy it, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
MZ, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Well, good morning. Here we are. We're moving out. We're moving in. Oh, here we are. We're at it again. Dave Burnett joins us now at 580 KIDO for the Manly Man segment, and, you know, kind of to take a break from Deflategate, from the Goofy Media Day, from Add the Words coming up day three. I was watching the snow people last night, the weather folks, and, you know, we talk about how goofy they are here, and if you're on the Weather Channel, you know, I've never seen a guy play with, well, I don't want to say that would be misconstrued, play with a yardstick more than I did last night, a guy running around. The only thing he didn't do in Boston was make snow angels.
I'm only here, Kevin, so I'm not fine. No, I'm just kidding with you. That it reminded me a lot of the hurricane coverage where let's go stand in the wind with the water hitting us in the face. It was the let's stand in the snow blowing. And sometimes I wonder if they didn't have a snow blower throwing it at them. But.
Well, my favorite is here comes a car. There he goes.
Here's a plow.
Yeah.
That's big time there. But, yeah, you know, and I... Somebody was in here yesterday. Oh, is there a digital gal? She's not listening. She doesn't listen to us, so I can talk. And she's going, man, can you believe the snow? And I went, it's winter. It snows there. It happens.
It does.
You grew up there.
I did.
Did it ever snow when you were there?
Well, I was relating the story that made you laugh this morning. You know, my parents' house have a long driveway, and
wait, your mom's listening.
Oh, she? Yeah, they're both listening.
Oh, boy.
So, but they'll get a good laugh out of this. And you know, when I went away to the Army, they got a snowblower. When I went away to college or the Army again, then they got a tractor.
Oh, for mowing the lawn?
Yeah, and
nice.
You know. Even blowing snow in this, I mean, you have to have these industrial things, and not my mom, but my Mrs. Miller, she bought me a little electric snowblower for the snow blowing here.
Here?
And those things.
Have you used it yet?
No, bless her heart, but I'm going, those things really don't work well. They're kind of like, you know, putting a leaf blower out there, but, you know, you have these industrial strengths like 11 horsepower or something.
Sure,
like
then
that.
The snow just goes brrr and just gets blown out of there, yeah.
Yeah, so you were laughing about that they bought a snow blower once I left, so.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
True.
It is.
Yeah, to this day. So, you know, how would, you know, and it's funny because Glenn Beck was yelling about this yesterday. Ah, they closed down the city, and I'm thinking, New York, I think, eventually got over 8 or 9 inches, something like that, New York City. And how would we handle that here? And you know, based on your history and of being here in the community, I mean, what's the biggest snowfall that's ever happened here?
I've seen 8 or 9 inches fall, and but again, it depends on what kind of snow it is.
Right.
You know, if it's just really blowing snow, which I think that was. I think it was blowing pretty good, so it was pretty dry snow. So it just kind of depends on whether it's really wet, packed, slick snow or if it's just blowing around snow. But I've seen like 9 inches here, I think. Not very often. You know, you get to 8-9 inches. That's a lot.
Well, and the ability to keep up with it, like the folks in the south in Texas, they get 2 or 3 inches.
Oh, they're
and,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the Portland area, you know, an inch or two will wipe them out.
Right. And I always like it with the resources that the folks here have, and it's no joke. Channel 7 has the most resources. So, you know, everybody tries to do the big city-like coverage, and, hey, we're over here on the connector, and, hey, we're here. There's only so much that you can do when the snow comes down. You
know? Yeah, and it doesn't happen here very often because I don't know if you know this, but we live in a desert.
It doesn't. I'm getting ready to be reminded of that because it's Raya Maya and Dave Burnett season coming soon.
Yeah. Well, we live in a desert. It's like, it's going to be really dry this summer. I know. We live in a desert. It doesn't rain much here. That's why they call it the high desert.
Right.
But, you know, so when you get it, you know, 6 inches of snow, that's a significant amount for the, you know, the valley here.
And we shall see how that plays out.
Yeah, because we live in a desert.
Right.
So gets hot and dry.
Looking forward to that.
Sun stays up till 10.
Hot and dry. Yeah, I can't wait for that, boy.
That'll be good.
Boy.
Sun stays up there.
So would you ever go to Media Day in the Super Bowl?
You know, it made me laugh yesterday, and it's the state of radio today. I'm watching and I'm hearing reports of, oh, there's goofy guy. There's a guy here in a clown suit. There's another guy in a barrel, and that's all he's wearing, which turned out to be radio people. And they're just there to try to get some media attention. And so I'm thinking, how sad. So here, you know, some general manager or boss goes, I want you to get out there in a barrel with the call letters on it and ask stupid questions.
Right.
So they're out there. But, hey, it worked. He's on national TV.
Right.
For the old Gene Autry station.
All right. Well, my parents love the Gene Autry, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then again, you have other stations, most notably the one in Boston, that spend over $300,000 a year to get 10 minutes with Tom Brady. And every year, Brady makes international news, this time saying that his feelings were hurt. You know, It's kind of, on one hand, you have both extremes.
Do you think his feelings were really hurt? Do you think he really cares?
I would say, yeah.
I don't think so.
I think the Patriots owner, Bob Kraft, you know, people are saying Richard Sherman is in his head. When you question the integrity of someone who has been above reproach, I mean, the NFL players, remember during the strike, they praised Bob Kraft for making it happen, the end of the strike. And then when you question his integrity, I think he had no choice but to respond about how Roger Goodell's hanging out in his house, and it was a client party. You know, very similar to what we have here, where we thank our clients for all the great things they've done for us.
I think Roger Goodell probably spends time with most owners at some time or another. I mean, that's part of the deal. He's their employee, isn't he?
He is, but I mean, just the whole conflict of interest thing.
Yeah, you know, here's an idea. Let's put these guys on the field, play the game. Enough. Enough
right.
Asking Bill Belichick, what's your favorite kind of toy, stuffed animal?
What would you ask those guys if you and you never get, like, it's not even a news conference, it's just a big gaggle. Because I have a couple questions for someone that who would you think that I would want to talk to?
Well, Tom Brady, I think, is somebody you would, but not to ask about deflated balls.
No, well, close. I would like to talk to Belichick.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like a conversation we have here. So who would you like to talk to?
Out of the two teams that are there?
Yeah.
I would say probably, and mind you again, and I will go on the record, I'm not a New England fan, but probably Tom Brady, just because of what he's accomplished. You know, I'd like to have some one-on-one time just to talk to him about what he's accomplished and how he feels, you know, what is it that has put him the cut above the rest to be able to accomplish it with the tools that he has had,
right?
Which sometimes very good tools, and with the tools that he hasn't had, what is it that's allowed him to compete at that level?
By the way, do you like Tom Brady?
Do I like him?
Are you a Tom Brady fan?
I don't dislike him. I appreciate what he's done.
Right. There's a great article in the New York Times Magazine this week where it describes how Tom Brady wants to play until he's 43. And they talk about his diet, and he has like avocado ice cream or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's very conscious of his training and such.
Well, you know, I'm secure enough in my sexuality to say he's a good-looking man. He's good-looking and physically very fit.
Okay.
And I'm confident enough in myself to say that. Could he do it till he's 43? I don't think he could. I think you look at some of these guys like Peyton Manning, Elway, Brett Favre. Do you know what gets to these guys? And Brady's got to deal with this. That cold weather gets tough to play in. It's hard on the body to get out there and get hit when it's really cold.
Right.
So I think it'd be tough for him to do that, but he still looks good. He looks like he's got a lot of gas left in the tank.
Well, like I said, it'll be interesting. I would just love to talk to Belichick. There was a guy who wrote a book called We Got Fired, and he interviewed Bill Belichick. He interviewed a ton of people about getting fired and how Bill Belichick learned from being fired. In fact, when the Baltimore Ravens, the old Cleveland Browns, made it to the Super Bowl, Ozzie Newsome, years later, said it was Bill Belichick that taught him how to be a general manager and really made the must changes to the Cleveland Browns that became the Baltimore Ravens that allowed them to do that. And I, you know, one of the things that the differences between Parcells and Belichick is Parcells, you know, always went for size. When Belichick fell in love with a player that could play, he wanted, when they were both in New England, he wanted to draft Ray Lewis. Parcells overruled him. And just, you know, just those little things. And to get inside a mind of somebody like that, I think would be fascinating.
Yeah. Hello?
Caller? You're on the air. Go
hello,
ahead.
Hello, Boston.
Please.
You're on the air. Oh, yes. That is weird. I didn't even touch that, and it went on.
Hello, Worcester.
Boston, you're on the air.
Exactly.
You know, and people haven't talked a whole lot about Carroll and Belichick's past.
Yep.
And New England's past. They haven't talked about that. Have I been missing that conversation?
Bob Kraft said the only coaches he hired are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, which is very true. And both, you know, people that demand the most out of their players. You know, look at Pete Carroll. He demands the most out of his players.
You know, Pete Carroll was looked on kind of as a goof until he went to USC.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy, was seen too much of a nice guy when he was in New England. And Bob Kraft said, look, I probably did not do a good enough job with Pete. He made the playoffs, 1-2 in the playoffs when he was with the Patriots, then went to the Jets. I think it worked out this way, that when Parcells left, he took Belichick. They hired Carroll. And then when Belichick turned down the Jets and went to the Patriots, Carroll got the boot. Then he went to the Jets, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Yeah, and then Pete Carroll was like USC's fourth or fifth choice. And look what he did there, and to have that success in both levels, and to have a team. I have to say this, and I haven't been watching the NFL as long as you have, but I have to say, I have not seen a team so young peak so early that they could, they're like the Buffalo Bills, except they won. They could win four or five in a row. I think they're that good if everything goes their way.
Yeah, I mean, free agency could mess all that up, but they have the potential because they're very young, and Pete Carroll has them playing at a very high level. You know, you look at Russell Wilson, young guy, doesn't look like he's taking a whole lot of pounding. So, you know, it's not like he's Kaepernick and running and getting bent in two, even though he does have that ability to run. But yeah, I mean, he's got him running at a high level. You got Marshawn Lynch, who's probably good for another year, 2 years.
Well, it depends on his contract, but. See, here's what gets me. I think Russell Wilson, I always want to call him Russell Williams for some reason. I think that he's going to get exposed. And I think, again, if Marshawn Lynch is going, as we saw in the fourth quarter against the Packers, that offense is unstoppable. It's not that they have great receivers, but he doesn't beat himself. And then the read option comes into play. But if you make him pass, and again, easier said than done, stay in the pocket and pass. Now, again, much to the chagrin of the Packers, they rushed two people, and he eventually found someone who was open.
Yeah. You got to keep him in the pocket.
Right. Again, hey, look at me. I know the NFL. Keep him in the pocket. But it's funny how everybody's an instant expert, you know, laughing at myself here. But that's the way it goes. And the Green Bay did that for three quarters, but maybe it's this beast mode guy that he just wears people down. He's different than Earl Campbell, who I thought was one of the most physical back that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Campbell would, he'd get up a speed, you know, get up a load and he'd go, get some momentum. Where Lynch seems to get stronger when they gang tackle him, he's throwing people off of him and going 1 or 2 yards at a time, at least my impression. And what about yours?
I think, well, you know, they always say that saying. They said it about J.J. He gets stronger as the game goes on. I think with Marshawn Lynch, that's true. I mean, early in the game, he'll hit the line, but by the fourth quarter, he's punishing people. And suddenly, you see defensive guys probably not wanting to tackle him as hard because they're hurting more than he does when the collision takes place. And it's not often you see that. How long will that last? A couple of years in the NFL. That's all you're good for. You know, talk to Doug Martin. It's a punishing business for a running back in the NFL. It takes a physical toll. So, but like I said, you know, he's good for another year or so, but they'll plug and play somebody. Running backs are pretty easy to come by, you know, to come up with a skilled quarterback that can be smart enough to do that for you. That's not as easy to come up with. And that's where I think Russell Wilson, you know, well, Russell Wilson, part of it, I think it's his ethics, his, you know, his Christian background, his soft spokenness that has won a lot of people over, to him, that he seems to be a very nice guy, the kind of guy you'd want to bring home, you know, to mom and dad if you're a woman. Well, I guess I can say that. Ooh, am I in trouble for saying that?
Well, we're going to add the words on that one.
But, you know, so, I think he has won people over with his charm, but he's also very smart.
However, yeah. let's be honest here at 580 KIDO, and then we have to go. But remember, you had people early in the locker room saying he wasn't black enough earlier in the season. Remember that?
Well, sure, because he doesn't act like thuggish, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Does he go around with headphones on? I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Watch out for the beats.
Hey, I got my headphones on. I'm good to go. Exactly. Your traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County.